Welcome to the 2018 Six Demon Bag Halloween Spooktacular, blah, blah, blah.
I'm your first host, Jeffy Krueger.
And I'm the host from hell, Drew the Ripper.
This is your host with the most, Night of the Living Ed.
This is Ryan, the Restless Wanderer.
Monster survival plans.
Pod people.
Ooh, I just watched The Invasion yesterday.
Yeah, too. I just read your journal entry at emurtalac.wordpress.net.
Thank you. I was not side slash impressed with it. It was hard. It's hard to fuck up.
I watched it, but I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, and they didn't sell it as a remake of The Invasion of Pod People,
even though it's called Invasion.
I figured it was, but I didn't get it until I actually started watching it. And I was like, oh,
one of my favorite scenes in any horror movie or thriller.
Is it this scene?
When they point and they yell?
That's a classic moment.
Thank you.
But
from the 70s remake.
More generically, is any scene where the protagonists just fucking start handling business and just get super proactive. And there was a scene in the 70s remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers where they're like, oh, we can't sleep. That's when they take you over and they clone you into a pod person. And they get locked in a lab. And so they find, like, some amphetamines. And, like, we got to stay awake. And they just do a massive dose of amphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people grabs, like, a little dart or something. And then the pod people come in thinking they're asleep. And then they just fucking freak out like meth heads and stab the pod people in the heads with this little dart, and it was like, holy shit.
That's in which version?
The Donald Sutherland version. Yeah. It's like they're doing speed and stabbing people in the heads. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's all a metaphor.
So what would you do if you realized that people in society were slowly being replaced?
That's a creepy scenario.
Super creepy.
I would just go to sleep and forget my troubles.
And in the invasion, they were inoculating people. They used the paranoia to be like, oh, there's like a SARS epidemic and everybody needs to be inoculated. And they were injecting people willfully with the shit that would turn them into pod people.
That's kind of good.
And they had all the health professionals. That was the best scene of that movie.
Well, I always avoid the flu shot, so I'd probably still be okay.
They had they had all the health professionals in a conference, and they panned to the back of the room, and the people serving the coffee kept bobbing their heads, and then it cut to them, and they were spitting in their coffee, and I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. That was the best part of that movie, honestly. But
it's so, man.
A big, massive infection.
There's nothing you can do because no one believes you.
Yeah,
no,
because
one,
everybody's paranoid. Or everybody's paranoid in this day and age right now anyway.
Yeah.
And actually,
so that's a good one.
Guns.
You'd want to, you know, I've always, in my secret paranoid fantasies, have kind of wanted to have worked out like a code phrase with different people.
They did that in The Invasion. She worked out a code with her son. It was like this little word association game they would play, and if she said the word,
I gotta tell you, this movie
game,
sounds killer.
It's not very good because it has a happy ending, which is bullshit.
In the original, in the 50s version, they all get taken over?
In the original, it ends with the guy telling everybody, you're next, and like, you know,
yeah,
trying to warn people, and they're not listening to him.
It leads right into It's a Wonderful Life.
And so, the second one ends with the main guy, spoilers, like, oh, yelling when the girlfriend thinks he's okay.
Yeah, it's the girlfriend who's like somehow beat all the odds and hidden out and
I feel like that's
lived
the
on the lam as
that's
like this awesome ninja on the outskirts of society. And then she reaches out to Donald Sutherland
and he just and Abel Ferrer's one has them land in the helicopter at the military base, and you just can't tell because it's the military.
Can you tell
the military from the pod people, which is great.
Can you genuinely inoculate yourself against it somehow by taking like a small dose? I don't know how it works. It works different in every movie.
Some people were immune to it, which was bullshit. They changed the rule a little. You know how they do that in some Yeah. Like in Village of the Damned, they changed the remake. They changed it so one of the kids was could think like independently from the group.
I never saw any of those, but in the original, and like, then in 50s...
Dawn of the Dead, they changed it so that not everybody died. Everybody in Dawn of the Dead, the original, everybody who dies becomes a zombie. In Dawn of the Dead, the remake, only if you're bitten and die do you become a zombie, which sucked. Yeah, and then this one, scary. It was like you. If, there were some people that were immune, and they developed a cure, and they beat it off.
I feel like in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, they just got rid of the original and made a clone. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they replaced the person.
Yeah, so there's no there would invasion, be no inoculating.
Yeah, and that's what that's the other thing that sucked. In the Invasion, you could reverse the process. Right. And I'm like, well, then it's not Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I would like move out if for somehow some miracle I wasn't just immediately assimilated, which is what would happen. I would like move away. I'll try to like move away, but like you could, so you move out into the like middle of nowhere, right?
The boonies. Yeah,
yeah. You like go off the grid. You're living in the woods, but eventually they're gonna be creeping up on you in the night, like just out of the darkness. They're gonna come for you, and that would be the scariest moment of all.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You can't defeat urban sprawl.
But also, no man is an island. It is virtually impossible to be truly self-sufficient and independent. Like, you may be a good survivalist, you may be able to live off the land, but you're not a doctor and a dentist.
Yeah, even the old-timey trappers went into town on occasion.
Eventually you need something.
Eventually you need someone, and then not only would you be afraid of everyone you came into contact with, but... You know, every contact could be your last. Or if you meet someone who's friendly, but who do they know? And can you trust them? Yeah, like when people are the enemy, it gets really grim, really fast. I feel like,
yeah, there's really no good way out of this situation.
Even the idea of having like a code phrase or something that you could work out, you know, that only your best friend of 30 years would know. Now with like Facebook and all the leaks and all the password cracks, like the
phones watching you,
your phone's listening, and
this is
your Alexa and Siri. Like they could probably figure out what your phrase is. All right, so pod people. We would try to flee.
And become pods.
We'd either become pod people.
Go out to the ocean.
Or crazy hermits.
This was the one cool thing about the invasion. Besides the fact that one of the kids was a pod person, and on Halloween night poisoned the other kids' candy to turn them into pod people. Wow. That was cool.
Nice. I gotta see this movie again.
It's good until the end. But the end thing that's interesting is they change it, and they change back. They defeat the pod people, and they go back, and everything is in the world is strife again and stuff. And when you're pod people, when the pod people are taking over, all the news reports are like, North Korea is agreeing to, like, you know, get rid of nuclear weapons and all this kind of stuff because they were pod people. Like, all the pod people were, like, the same, and there was no strife. It was like,
no, it's our world, but if everyone was suddenly of one mind.
Yeah, but they wouldn't need newspapers and news reports. They would just know.
Well, they were slowly taking over still.
They were still acting like
in the news.
People.
Everybody was all of a sudden laying down their weapons, and Hamas was like, you know, everything that's happening now is just ending. And it was like because the pod people were taking over, and then when they beat it back, Daniel Craig's reading the newspaper, and it's all gone to shit again and stuff.
And it's this crazy theme that sometimes arises in good sci-fi, which is you could solve a lot of humanity's problems if you could just sand the edges off of human nature.
Mm.
But at that point, what have you lost and what have you gained? Yeah. Exactly. If we're not humans anymore in the sense that we always have been humans... Do we want to live forever as some not quite human thing?
The answer is yes.
Well, because old girls, Nicole Kidman's like breaking point was like Daniel Craig's talking to her, like, you know, we're gonna be totally the same, and it's gonna be great, and think of all the problems are gonna be gone, and all this. Nicole Kidman's thing was like, well, what about my son? He's immune to this, so what's gonna happen to him? And they were like, well. You know, we have to get rid of, like, everybody who's immune because they don't fit in anymore. And she's like, well, then no, I can't be a part of it. And that was her breaking point and stuff.
It's a fucking great movie. Jeez.
It sounds great, but it wasn't that great.
All right, I'm going into the side bag. Quaint Cult. Your Children's of the Corns, your Wicker Mans. When you go into a sleepy seaside village.
Corn rigs and barley.
Your Dagons. Did exactly. anyone ever see that movie?
Yes.
It was a bad movie.
So what would you do if you were vacationing in some quaint town and you started to realize, like, there's a lot of sickles around?
Jeez, man, this is another pod person scenario.
Well, you leave town.
Yeah, you just gotta leave
well,
town, man.
You leave
if
town,
you can.
But
burn
what
the
do
corn.
You know? Your car's not working
burn
anymore.
The fields, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you're done with that, burn the house.
Yeah, this is a besieging thing where you fort up, I guess.
Yeah.
Alamo.
You
gotta find
a way.
No,
they all died
town.
At the Alamo.
You gotta find a way out of town. Maybe you play along. Like, oh yeah, teach me.
Okay, but when you try to play along, they're like, all right, brother Ed, first thing you gotta do is sacrifice one of your children.
Waste this kid.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Yeah, do it on the spot, or can we have to go to a place?
Yeah, no, you waste the ringleader and then you run.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I would try to talk it into, like, well, you know, we should do it in the cornfield or whatever, so, you know, Brother Jebediah.
You don't want to go into the cornfield.
No.
The
truck
for, Jesus.
For he who walks behind the
this
rows.
Is for he
who
walks behind
you.
The rows, yeah. But then you get the truck and pile the kids in and...
Truck's not running.
Hell bent for Leonard.
No, man.
That's because this is a quaint scenario. Oh. Very rustic. Yeah, get in a horse and buggy.
Guns. They definitely have guns again.
They may not have guns in this
they might have
Quaker
done away
town.
With
can you preach an alternative religion?
I don't think that would go over too well in a cult scenario.
It wouldn't work because the demon who's leading these kids actually has provable powers.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue around you when you got you walked around and rolled
yeah,
right there in front of
yeah,
you.
Actually killing dudes.
One of the great parts, and I think it was Rambo Part 3.
The one in Afghanistan?
No. The
one where he helps the Taliban, you monster?
No, there was a scene in Rambo where he...
I must break you,
He grabs a chicken... And, like, he kills it and goes through this, like, cornfield or this, like, tall grass. And the guys are following... The soldiers are following this blood trail through
that's
the...
That's the fourth one, the new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, soaked the whole field in gasoline. And so once all the soldiers are inside...
Oh, wait, no, that's two, I think, right? Isn't that two?
Yeah, it's two
know.
Or three.
We're
going
to need
man.
To do a marathon, I
well,
think.
Anyway,
cornfields
all
in Afghanistan, so
is use a cornfield or a hayfield against the quaint cult.
Oh, get them all into the
well, that's how
the
they defeat the he who must walk behind the rose. They, or he who walks behind the rose.
You got a brave he who walks behind the rose.
They just burn him.
Or get them all in the barn.
You don't need to be faster. You just need to be faster than Malachi.
You can feed them all moonshine. And then burn them.
With moonshine?
Yeah, they got to be done with that corn mash because
yeah.
That's got to be
like
blood
all kids want to do is drink, especially country bumpkin kids. So if you can get
you
an ample supply of booze.
Yeah, it's like, meth. Hey guys, I'm down with your religion. Ever hear a Rumspringa?
Mm-hmm.
And then just
let's
insane,
all celebrate.
Insane Clown Posse and Trucker Speed and Cheap Viagra and Grinder.
Celebratory.
And
oh,
and
all that stuff. Ooh,
just
yeah.
Just let 21st century America destroy them.
How do you survive? Salder Swarm.
What?
Spider swarm.
Spider swarm.
Hmm. Like arachnophobia kind of thing?
Arachnophobia, kingdom of spiders.
Get your stomping boots for one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, arachnophobia scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly. It was right up my alley.
I'm not afraid of spiders, so I don't know about this one.
You would be if it was
just,
a swarm.
Just be like, guys, it's cool. You just
they're
walk
our
out
friends.
Into the giant.
Just gorge them on flies.
That you just have handy.
Yeah, you got to collect all the crickets and flies. Go to the pet store, get all the crickets.
Fire.
Fires, yeah, that'll help you for a while. Can you make fire if you have no matches?
Well, we didn't say I didn't have matches. Where are we?
We didn't say you did have matches. Right?
You're
gonna be butane.
What happens when you
town?
Burn up all your fuel? I.e. wood and furniture and all that stuff.
Then you start using spiders.
Will the spiders follow the scent of your warm blood? Can you lure them somewhere?
Are these giant spiders?
Or? No, these are just like creepy crawly spiders.
I unleash Jeff on them because he is the bane of all spiders.
But millions of them. Well, okay. Spider story, side bag, true confession. I shouldn't have done this.
Hell awaits thee.
And I, going straight to spider hell, I acknowledge this. Although I would like to repent to Spider Jesus and accept him into my heart. If that'll buy me just 1 minute out of that cursed eternal web. But one time there was a massive spider on the outside of our screen door. And we're like, oh, gross, look at it. And we could get up right next to it and just see, like, its thick legs. It was like a shaved tarantula. It was so fucking gross how big this, like, wolf spider was. And so I got a bottle of hairspray and a lighter.
Oh, no.
And
through the screen door.
We were standing inside. Worse. We were standing inside, and I did the thing where I flicked the lighter and I shot the hairspray and created a jet of flame, hoping, like, haha, I can harmlessly kill this spider. And what had happened is we just melted one of its legs into the screen door mesh. So it was running around, like, freaking out, of course, out in terrible pain. And we're like, ah! So we went outside, climbed onto the porch and shot it again, and then it fell burning through the slats of the deck down to where all the dry dead leaves had collected, and I was like, "Ah!" We had to run and get water and extinguish this. Like, it was like the end of the thing. You know, guys are getting flamethrowered and, like, running on fire.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Is there no end to your spider torture?
No, there's not. But in a Kingdom of the Spider scenario, I would definitely employ
some
these
fire
handmade flamethrowers.
Mm. Can you... Is there anything we know about spiders, i.e. their attraction to certain pheromones or vibrations?
Kingdom of the Spiders... they hooked up a PA system and played the sound of
Barry White.
Of wasps.
Oh, that was Simpsons.
Of parasitic wasps.
Wow.
Because that made tarantulas, who were their the natural victim of the tarantula hawks, made them all cringe.
That was
kind of freeze up.
That's like crazily cerebral for a killer spider movie.
With William Shatner. Yeah. Well, true fact about spiders is they have terrible vision.
Yeah.
So they can only see, like, an eighth of an inch. So I wonder if you could just elude them. The idea of a spider swarm...
There'd be, like, so many that there would be...
So many.
You'd just be covered in webs your whole house.
So you probably would have put on some thick clothing, some work gloves... Ideally,
just start smashing,
try to get to your car, seal up all the vents, and then just...
Well, as my spider stories have shown, spiders will do anything they can to get inside my car, so I still wouldn't be safe.
Well, they can get in, for sure. You know, if you had some of that spray adhesive, then if you ran to your car and then you used the spray adhesive on your vents... So as they were coming in, you could spray them and kind of glue up the works without poisoning yourself by spraying Raid into, like, your own...
You could
as
your spider stories have showed, Raid won't do in the long term.
Not on those...
You could probably get, like, a leaf blower and blow a path of spiders away.
A,
like,
leaf blower?
Like,
that's
parting
a fantastic
the Red Seas,
idea.
Just clear a path.
A leaf blower with a little propane torch at the end.
Sounds like a Dead Rising weapon or something.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like, or one of the reverse leaf blowers that's actually a vacuum that shreds the leaves when you suck them in.
That would also be very good.
Damn.
All right, guys.
Or a lawnmower, I guess. Any of that kind of...
I think we'd survive a spider swarm.
Yeah, maybe. I could get out of that.
We'd probably have some welts, though, at the very least.
Yeah, it'd be poisonous.
Some eggs would be laid in our face for sure.
No doubt.
We'd be eating many spiders in our sleep, even though that was an urban legend spread on the internet.
Well, what I love about the urban legend about swallowing spiders in your sleep is that they say, on average, and it's like, wait... So this is average.
Who's measuring?
So some people swallow more, some people less, and the people that are measuring this are just sitting there with a clipboard like,
one, that's two
spiders.
Three.
Oh, this guy can't get enough. Five spiders. He's really bringing
the
average up.
I feel like we
should
chew some of these spiders away.
No.
This is all the humanity.
This is science. We cannot tamper with this experiment.
Like the tortoises on the the sea turtles, rather, that you're not supposed to, like, save from predators. Anyway, I ruined that. Ooh.
Alright, I'm reaching into the Halloween bag, pulling out some candy, and I'm pulling out a topic. My candy is Airheads, strawberry and watermelon.
Ugh.
So sugary.
Ryan, you want this?
No.
Ugh, alright. And
trying to foist your Airheads on me. I know what that means.
My topic is my topic is Halloween versus Christmas creep. So we've all been there. It's October 1st. You're at Target or Walmart or Home Depot or Osh or whatever your local store is, and they're getting out all the Halloween stuff. You're like, ooh, October 31st is coming up. Best time of the year. Halloween spirit is rising. There's cinnamon and pumpkin scents and all sorts of fun spooky toys and decorations and cookies and craft beers. And then boom, October 8th, Christmas trees and Santas as far as the eye can see. A fucking travesty.
I remember when I was working on Ed's daughter's costume a few years back, I was going... Ozma costume. I went to the Osh hardware store near my apartment just like all October trying to get new materials to make these props. And it was so great. It put me right in the Halloween mood because they had set up like a bunch of hay bales and all their Halloween decorations, and it was just wonderful. And then the next year I was so excited when October rolled around because I was like, yay, Osh is going to have, you know, all their stuff out. And it's weird to be like excited about a hardware store to put me in the Halloween spirit, but that was the first year that they trotted out the Christmas decorations like only a week or two into October. And it really soured my Halloween mood because it was like...
Why does it do that?
It's not even Halloween yet and I'm thinking about Christmas. And this year... Osh, sadly, RIP, is going out of business completely. They're closing down every store. And so they put out the Halloween decorations and the Christmas decorations in September. So I couldn't even get a week of October thrills. And they certainly didn't bother putting out any hay bales and making it, you know.
I have no issue with Christmas decorations coming up early.
It doesn't kind of intrude on your Halloween spirit?
No, not at all. I'm in the Halloween mode and
it reminds me of
Christmas. I'll turn to Christmas. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's there. It's just there in your peripheral vision, like trying to put its cheer on you.
But that's okay. I love Christmas.
Well, I do too, but a time and a place for everything and everything in its place.
I feel like I'm in the best part of the year because I'm doing Halloween now. And I got
Halloween
Christmas
and Christmas
coming.
Are too close together. No. Discuss.
No, I'm doing Halloween and I got Christmas
Call
to
back.
Look forward to. So it's like I'm totally happy to be reminded Christmas is coming.
I mean, it's...
That's why we don't invite you anywhere at Halloween time. Because
<then. laughs> you show up in a Santa suit.
Yeah.
Or something?
Well, hold on. Because there is a corollary or a side bag to this topic of Halloween versus Christmas creep. We may not have found common ground on that issue, but I do think it's interesting how in the mix-up, Halloween is kind of leaking into Christmas. And maybe it's because they're both kind of being merged together on the same calendar space, but, you know, movies like the Krampus.
I think you're leaning heavily on Krampus for this, and there's I think that's also the Yule Lads.
There's Krampusnacht. There's
that's also Krampus.
There's Nightmare Before Christmas is as big now as it ever was.
I would say bigger, probably.
Yeah, I mean, there is a sort of revival of the spooky side of Christmas, which was always there traditionally.
It's like steampunk, though. It's like what sells in the moment. Like, soon people will be sick of Krampus. They probably already are.
They'll be sick of Krampus.
And then
Krampus,
no one will give a shit about Krampus.
But there's
anymore.
Also the Yule Lads and the Yule Cat. There are so many awesome Scandinavian and Nordic spooks in the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
I intend to.
Didn't you talk about this last year? Like the worm and all that
I
stuff?
I intend to bore you all during the Christmas special about the
you mean the
many,
Christmas Spectacular?
The Christmas, sorry.
Wait, are we talking about the Christmas Spectacular?
Oh, no, it's creeping
it's
in.
Intruding
you guys are creeping. See what I'm saying? I wasn't even talking about that stuff.
I didn't think you'd notice that. Next topic.
All right, I know what this box is. I frankly could go for some Boston baked beans.
Ah, my big discovery from last year.
On 6DB.
Yeah.
Makes I'll share some of my BBBs with you, Ed.
Yeah, my big
And I
discovery.
Don't mean Boston baked beans. And the topic I have pulled is Pumpkin Massacre. Well, this is a Jeff story.
This is my
Take it away,
story.
Jeff. This is nature intruding on Halloween.
So
I'm going to chew my Boston baked beans into the microphone, if you don't mind.
Don't chew mine.
There's a technique in the world of pumpkin carving, which is called pumpkin etching. If you have a pumpkin that's on the vine while it's still green, you can scratch a pattern into the pumpkin, and it will heal and scar over. And then you can create these intricate scarified pumpkins. And I thought the only way to bring my pumpkin game up to the next level would be to grow my own pumpkins from seedlings and carve different designs and faces and words and messages into them.
I know somebody else who tried this, and I'm assuming it turned out the same way, but go ahead.
So,
prepare to be surprised.
I started a couple months ago, and I raised up a pretty decent little crop of pumpkins. And the scarification worked beautifully. I had one that said boo. I had one that said our family name. I did a skull into one. I did a wacky face into another one. And these were all just like test runs. And they were awesome. These nice medium-sized pumpkins. Bright orange and full. Good shape. These cool scar patterns in them. And so then I was like, all right, you know, we got about 2 months until Halloween. So I'm going to start on a next bigger batch and really going to start to, you know, plan out these intricate designs. And then one day I found a hole gnawed in one of my pumpkins. And I was like, damn.
Damn it, Amanda.
What is getting into these pumpkins? And so then another pumpkin got eaten, and it got, like, gutted. It looked like someone had stuck a grenade into this thing. Kind of like in Starship Troopers, where they shot that giant bug.
Sucked the pumpkin's brains
they
out.
They sucked its brains out. Just orange gore and seeds everywhere. So I looked online how to, like, keep animals from eating your pumpkins. I put some hot sauce on them. That didn't work. I went out and got some Halloween decorations. I got a big bat and a little motion-activated witch that would cackle. And so there was like a motion sound alarm, a big scary predatory shape. I got this owl on a stick with glowing lights. All things meant to scare away little nibbling mammals. None of that worked. Pumpkins were still getting taken.
Is it a rabbit? Or?
And so, you know, I didn't know what it was.
Is it a lepus?
And eventually, I took some of the some of the pumpkins and put them on our patio, and I put them in milk crates and covered them up.
I remember that. Yeah, you showed me that.
And I saw a big old squirrel out there on our patio one day trying to sneak in. And so I chased him off, and I was like, oh, just damn squirrel. So I got some squirrel repellent. I got this like this heavy duty stuff that's made of like sulfur and fox urine and
squirrels.
Cat urine, ground up squirrels, just all kinds of foul stuff. And I just sprayed it all over the pumpkins. It smelled horrible, but the squirrels did not care. The squirrel did not care.
Wow!
Squirrel
what did
came
it do
back.
To the pumpkins, huh?
Squirrel didn't care.
Squirrel did not care at all.
I assumed that was the case.
The squirrel just used it like a garnish and just started eating these pumpkins.
Squirrel knows where its bread is buttered.
And so
inside your pumpkins.
All I had were these last remaining pumpkins that I had in this little Supermax prison I'd created out of these milk crates. And the patio is right by our bedroom. And one night we heard this like this kind of grating, sliding noise. And in the morning, we go out there and see that the squirrel had pushed the milk crates aside, gone in, and devoured another one of the pumpkins. So I'm on, like, high alert now. I'm trolling the perimeter. And my one ace in the hole is our dog, Penny, who has never seen a squirrel. She has not wanted to chase and murder. And then finally it happened. The squirrel came over our back patio fence, was sniffing around the rest of the pumpkins we had in the milk crates. And our dog was there, and she just stared at it. In a way I've never seen her stare at anything. Like, it captivated her, but also did not arouse her anger or curiosity in any particular way. She just kind of stared in bewilderment at this squirrel, and the squirrel was like, all right, I'm gonna eat these pumpkins. At this point, this squirrel has eaten 9 whole pumpkins. And is like this
living
crazy
large,
jacked, just pumpkin spice barbarian. So it ate all my pumpkins. I won't have time to grow new ones by Halloween.
I must say, I'm really digging this squirrel for loving pumpkin as much as I do.
You can name that squirrel. Huh?
Arnold Pumpkin Egger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to poison a squirrel or anything. So, good
God
on you. Good on you, squirrel. I hope you enjoyed them.
I hope he will share some of my pumpkin butter with me.
He just might. When will they?
Oh, I think I got another Hershbar.
What's a Mr. Goodbar?
AVP Monster Mashup.
Voldemort versus Lopan.
Lopan's got... both these guys have organizations. But Voldemort takes the edge because his guys are wizards, I think. Whereas Lopan has a bunch of...
They're wizards.
Well, I'm thinking of Lopan's gang, mostly. Like the Lords of Death. But he also has the Three
Lords
Storms.
Right.
And the...
Three Storms versus a Legion of Death Eaters.
And the Peking Wildman.
And the Beholder thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Watchers, the Guardians, or whatever.
All those weird statues.
What they see Lopan
Although
knows.
They can be killed just by knives, so...
Mm. Oh, you mean the guys in the armor? Those aren't statues. Guys with armor.
I feel like they're demons, though. Are they just dudes?
The guardian warrior guys with the swords, the one landed on Jack and he couldn't get him?
I guess they're just dudes.
Yeah, really they're just guys dudes. In armor. Guards dressed for Lopan's wedding.
Lopan himself, however,
says it.
Intangible. We have to specify pre-nuptials Lopan or post-nuptials Lopan.
Well, it's true, Lopan's a ghost.
Has he satisfied his...
Has
requirements
he
to Chindai?
Huh. Voldemort had
problems. Voldemort couldn't be killed while all his Horcruxes were active.
Hmm.
And Lopan could not be killed
while he was a ghost. And Voldemort had problems
but
with ghosts. Too.
Could Voldemort somehow tangify
Lopan? I think Voldemort could kill a ghost.
Could Voldemort turn himself into a green-eyed lady and...
seduce Lopan?
Now we're talking. That's some AVP.
There was that the scene in Goblet of Fire where the ghosts oppose him and allow Harry to escape.
But those ghosts were kind of tied into Harry's scar, which was tied into the Horcrux,
That was a suspect scene, because that was a priori incantatum. So they weren't actually the ghosts of the victims. They were only a manifestation of the previous spells cast by the wand in question. So it's a little bit of a gray area.
Okay. That's some good wand lore, Ryan.
Yeah, that's deep wand lore there. All right.
10 points to Gryffindor.
Voldemort wins.
Yeah, I gotta give it to Voldemort, too.
I give it to the Death Eaters.
Yeah, I give it to...
Voldemort would claim victory.
In a one-on-one, Voldemort and Lopan, I think I'd go
for
Lopan.
They just fight for eternity?
I think I'd go for Lopan, because he's got the experience. The experience, I think, is what pushes it over for him. He's like a thousand
something. He probably has powers
that
he's not
seen. He has shit
that
you didn't see.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Whereas in a fight with the entire organization, the Death
Eaters. Also, he has a literal god controlling his destiny. Yeah. So
if there was a scenario where Voldemort could somehow make a deal with Ching Dai.
Voldemort doesn't know about Ching Dai. He lives in England.
Yeah, he's probably an imperialist.
Alright, my candy is a Tootsie Fruit Chew. A vanilla fruit.
What have you done to all of us?
I wanted to get weird candies to simulate those kind of...
Like all the crappy things that you get egged over for giving away on Halloween.
Like,
look, I could have gotten a bunch of like high
full bars
top shelf
or
candy.
Go home.
You just should have thrown Bertie Bott's every flavor beans in there or some shit.
I thought about it.
That actually sounds real fancy.
No,
next year, full bars.
I wanted to...
I'll be responsible.
Recreate the weird... random chance stuff that
you certainly
you
did.
End up
although
with.
We have to, is there a candy apple in there? And
there's not a candy apple, but there is
a
pouch.
Homemade treats.
A
did
pouch.
You get any homemade treats?
A
on
pouch with 15 cents, a Rice Krispie bar, and a toothbrush from the dentist.
Is there a UNICEF box in there?
Yes. The bag is empty. There's candy, but no more topics.
What kind of candy?
Wow.
There we go.
Well, we really, as we've discussed, we
taking a crunch.
Really had a bit of a bind this year, because last year we really covered all the good, obvious Halloween topics, and we did it with such aplomb.
I think we did some good ones this year.
Well, we did. We certainly did. Mm-hmm. Jeff really pulled it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Neither of us contributed. That's for sure.
Your presence was enough.
I set up the microphones. You're welcome, America. Zimbabwe?
Mozambique.
Mozambique. Halloween is upon us. We have very few plans, unlike most years.
It is a Wednesday Halloween.
Halloween.
Not
except
the best, the worst kind of Halloween.
We have a lot going on this year, as opposed to other years in the past.
Well, I'll be on a somewhere in the Bahamas on a cruise ship, decked out with.
Lots
I saw
of
pictures
skeletons.
Of it. Yeah, they put up a big. What's the thing that they do that Disney does on Halloween? What's their big Halloween thing? They do Jack Skellington, right? That's Disney.
Yeah,
Jack Skellington.
Nightmare
yeah,
they got a big
Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas display with a huge tree in the middle of the like the Titanic area with the stairs, you know, and everything. So it's pretty. It's cool looking. See what
I think you guys are gonna have a blast.
I agree.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It's gonna be a weird Halloween for me. Very singular.
Ryan's celebrating his nuptials this upcoming weekend.
Double nups.
Double nups. Nups out.
So that'll be spooky.
Cups
for sure.
Out and nups out.
Yeah, I don't know. The first few Halloweens that I lived in Los Angeles, I spent largely by myself. I would carve a pumpkin. I would get a pizza. I would watch Halloween Tree. And then I would go to bed. I'm glad that I now have lots of stuff to do, fun stuff. Some Halloween compatriots, minus Ed, of course, because... Yeah. Why do we want him
Christmas.
Around?
I'm not hardcore, apparently.
With his tunnel vision.
But Los Angeles is a wonderful place for Halloween.
Yeah,
because there's so many people that are so dyed-in-the-wool fans of movies and monsters and creativity and costumes.
Yeah, community people and stuff.
I was really kind of worried when I left New England. I was like, oh, man, there's no way Halloween could ever be as good. It's better.
Mm-hmm. It's better in some ways and not as good in some ways.
If you want to go to a party, it's better.
Yeah.
If you want to go to a theme park, it's better.
Well,
if
it,
you want,
it used to be anyway.
Cider in the woods under a harvest moon. Well,
with
if you want to stumble into a Polish bar, you want to stumble into a Polish bar and get drunk by a like bristly mustache, kissed by a bristly mustache guy. Yeah, you probably get that here too. Actually,
I probably could.
Just wait.
But
just wait.
I think Patton Oswalt was saying that Halloween is the time where the nerds and the dweebs and the monster kids win. Like, the whole world comes over to your side for just one day.
Isn't that all the time now, though? Isn't that the whole deal with our society now?
It's
that the
true
new Kevin
that
inherited the earth.
It said that,
culture,
but I don't think so.
You know, is
yeah, because even on Halloween, I still get outclassed by the fucking cowboys. Those fucking cowboys.
Yes, but I gotta say, as someone who spends a lot of time in their imagination, or who has always been considered weird, who's always been preoccupied with monsters and spooky things, having the publicly acceptable chance to be someone else for a night, or to go outside and see everyone enjoying the same thing you enjoy, is so magical. I really do love Halloween. It is a time where creativity and play is on display across our entire country, and there's candy and there's parties and there's just a carefree, wonderful magic to it. And I think it's so much more special than just, you know, a TV special here or a sexy costume there. I love me some Halloween.
Ditto.